Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent Breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 447, the box office report for the week ending January 27th, 2019.
Right.
In case you go back and listen to random box office reports 4 years from now, you're like, oh, but which...
What year was it? I like that you think that we'll still be doing this.
Well...
I mean, that's fair.
We've been doing it for a long time.
We have been, yeah. 2013.
Yeah.
It is a long time. I was just looking back at, you know, other things that were in 2013. Coincidentally, the game Bioshock Infinite. Did you play that?
No.
March of 13 was the last time I played that and beat it. I looked at it. I'm like, oh, my, it's been 6 years. Like, that's how fast 6 years goes by.
I told somebody, they're like, how many episodes have you done? I was like, nah, around like 450. And they were just like, are you serious? Yeah, is that a lot? I don't know. I've gotten to such a groove every week that it's just
what you do.
Yeah, it's not. That's the thing is when you make things optional, it's a lot harder. But when you make it part of your schedule, right. Then it's like, oh.
And it's so true. I hesitated on starting it for so long.
Yeah,
because I was just like, every week, and will I stick with it? And I didn't want to be one of those guys that does like three episodes of a podcast and then never circles back around.
We had one of
it.
Those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, I didn't want to do that.
Right.
And so I just think that's kind of like if we stop tomorrow, which we're not.
No, we're not.
But if we did, like, it's like we did 440.
I feel like that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I look at some of the podcasts that I listen to and we're past them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and I'm just like,
This American Life is just did their 666th episode.
And we're not even like that's not that far away.
No, they have to put a lot more work.
They do
into their episodes.
True. A lot
they
of
do
more
research,
investigative journalism.
Right? Like there's
we're like Saturday Night Live trivia yeah. and music stuff.
Also, last night, really good show.
Who was on last night?
McAvoy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
The skit on an airplane.
Oh, so his SNL audition tape called Split finally got him on the show.
You look what I can do.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was very funny.
Because I was going to say, yeah, someone that can play characters like
it's pretty good. It was
a beast?
No,
there's no sketch.
Oh, I didn't. So I've only seen like three.
I don't know. Okay.
No, but the sketches that I've seen so far,
were
very. There's a sketch where he has to like. There's a plane going down, and he in Scotland. And the Kate McKinnon does a Scottish accent, and she's like,
"Oh, they did one of those. I think it was Ireland.
Okay,
when heat for it.
Oh, well, they did a Scottish one.
Yeah,
and they're like, this guy's going to be great. We're going to turn you over to him, and he's going to be fantastic. And of course, he goes into like a Scottish accent, hard, thick, and the guy in the airplane's like." Wait, what? And can't understand.
I'll give him instructions.
Yeah, yeah. And like with like Irish, I guess is he Scottish?
I don't know.
Because like he's using like Scottish slang and thinking
right.
the guy
yeah.
has no idea what he's saying.
Yeah.
But the second tier cast,
yeah.
I think is the best it's been in a long time for that show at least.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very funny show.
So there you go. That's an example. So
there it is.
No, guess what? Believe it or not, this is a little peek behind the curtains. No prep for that.
Nope.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. I know. Yeah.
We don't like to toot our own horn.
No.
But,
Let's show.
Toot, toot.
Yeah.
So we should probably go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Quick shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts. You can also get us wherever you get your podcasts, including Spotify, if that makes it easier for you. Has anybody actually tried to listen to a podcast?
I haven't.
Mm-hmm. Spotify?
Yeah.
And? Is it easy to search?
Yeah, it's not bad. Like, I think I actually told Tom when we first got on there, I'm like, hey, this is really cool. But I'm like, but I have other podcasts where I have to listen to them on another player. So, like, I wouldn't switch to Spotify because there's stuff I can't get on Spotify
right.
still.
Oh.
So, I don't know how many people are going to go back and forth. But for people that are just getting into podcasts and they only have Spotify, it's great to be found on there to be a choice. But for podcast listeners, I mean, you've got stuff where you have, you know, Patreon feeds you have to type in and, you know, there's certain stuff right. that's not searchable and then people that just haven't gotten on Spotify, which is, I know a lot more are.
I'm too deep into the Apple podcasts. Like, yeah. I've got too many things backed up. I'm yeah. just like, I'd have to lose them all.
It's like when you get a new DVR.
Exactly.
It's like, hang on, we have to watch everything on this DVR first.
40 hours of stuff recorded that I haven't watched yet. And I can't delete it. So when my daughter was born, my second daughter, the word got to the Blues play-by-play announcers.
Uh-huh.
And, the main guy on TV was just like was talking to Darren Pang, and he's like, hey, do you know Gus, who works behind the bench? Gus is my dad. And Pang or JD says yeah, and he's like, well, we just want to say congratulations to his son who just had his second daughter, Gwendolyn Rose, born on this day, blah blah. Well, that was on my DVR, and then I got rid of the DVR.
Oh, you didn't like pull that.
You can't, like, you, there's no way to pull it.
There are
oh,
things
really?
You could buy that'll do
damn
that
it. Yeah, well, yeah, it's out there in the ethos that is at Fox Sports Midwest.
Honestly though, if you did, I'm just saying, for like worst case scenario, if you did record that, what would you do with it?
I don't know.
You'd
I
have just, it somewhere.
Yeah,
but
sure,
I mean
sure,
it's
sure,
like
right.
you're really not gonna, I guess, no, it's like that, oh, it sucks to lose, but
I guess I think whenever I'm at like a high school, not high school, but like a school function and they're right. like taping the kids playing violin, I'm like, who are you kidding? You take a picture, you post it on Facebook, so you get your likes, and you move on
you
with
move
your
on.
Life. Like, you're never going to go back and watch.
Oh, and they charge you like $20 a pop for a
no,
DVD
I just meant the people
of?
That sit there filming the whole
oh,
thing.
Oh, for personal.
Yeah, yeah, I'm like, you're never going to go back and watch your 9-year-old play.
Well, I mean, they did that
Twinkle,
when I was,
Twinkle,
I
Little Star.
Definitely when I was a kid. Like, you go to like those Christmas pageants or whatever when in school.
Right.
And the whole back row is just, it's like you're doing a press conference where it's just dads with
yeah.
like those massive cameras right. up on stands. But Blake was the first one to text me. He's like, hey, did you know they just talked about you on the Blues game? I was like, they did? Because, you know, we were still in the hospital. Like,
right.
it was still a thing.
She like, wouldn't let you watch the game.
No. I want to watch the Cardinals when Bella was born, though. That was kind of nice.
Everybody like, honey, you just get to lay around. I can't watch the hockey game.
Right, good Lord. It's like you did anything important.
Yeah, women are so selfish.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
It's like crazy. You just had your innards pulled out of your stomach.
Yeah, but they give them pain medicine. Come on. That's enough. Did she get an epidural?
Yeah.
Then she should,
there's
should,
a
should stop bitching.
Hilarious story about the first one where she has a herniated disc.
I'm going to say that this story is probably hilarious.
It's hilarious to me.
To you?
And in retrospect, it's funny.
Okay.
Yeah. Hilarious asterisk.
Yeah. So the gal comes in for the epidural for the first kid, and she's like, Leanne's mom and I were in the room, and she's like, one of you have to leave. I was like, okay. I haven't showered in 3 days, so I'm going to go ahead and go.
Right.
So I go do my thing. I come back, and it's not a, it's a tense room after the fact. I go, what's going on? She said they couldn't get the epidural in. And I was like, did you tell them about your herniated disc? And they both shoot me a look. And they're just like, no, where were you? And I was like,
you told me to leave.
Yeah. And so second time around, I was like, tell them about your thing. And she was like, oh, I have this. And like, boop, done. Like, didn't even, not a thing. And then Gwen was born and everything was great. But it was just like, well, that's what you get for telling me to leave the room. But what do I know? I'm just the
so
guy.
So you're
that
saying is if you don't want to be at the hospital for 3 days, just get really stinky.
Super
and
stinky.
And they'll send you home. And
I showered there. I showered at the hospital.
Oh, you just went and took a shower like,
yeah, like
over there?
Like they had like a room where you like,
oh, okay,
you know,
I thought
like,
you like went home for a little bit.
No.
I
stayed. No, we were there for like 5 days.
Got it.
I had food poisoning when Zach was
shut
born.
Shut up.
Like,
are you serious?
Yeah, like
it all makes sense now.
Yeah, it does. I Yeah, I was so sick.
That sucks. And it
was frustrating because everybody's like, oh, the nervous father. And I'm just
no,
I'm peeing out my butt. Like, that's not nerves.
When I have nerves, I just shoot stuff.
It's bad clams.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
She was.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that was for you. But, see, I set you up. I threw you that softball.
See, 447 episodes, you know right. Where the things
see
are.
The chemistry here? Yeah. You can't buy that.
Yeah. So, let's see This American Life make a sexist clam joke. I'm not going to do it, Ira Glass.
Talk about words that nobody uses anymore.
I know.
I will have to say, when Dan is here, he does rein us in a bit.
Just a bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, continue.
He doesn't have to come back anytime soon. It's fine.
But it was frustrating because they were like, oh, he must be nervous. And I'm like, I'm not nervous.
No,
like,
it's coming out the back end, not the front end.
Well, it was both.
Oh.
And I guess she wasn't my wife at the time.
Oh.
Ah, the good old days. But, she was getting so mad because people would come in, the nurses would come in and check on her, and they're like, okay, let's check. Oh, are you okay, sir? Because I was in the chair next to her, just like, ugh. Just like,
my
white,
tummy knows feel good.
Pasty white. Like, and I'm my
more,
natural.
More so than usual.
My natural setting is pasty white.
Right.
I'm Irish, but.
Translucent.
And then it was like every like hour on the hour, I was racing to the bathroom to either hurl poop or both. It was
at the same time.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Good times.
Yeah.
Good times.
Woo-wee. Yeah.
Sounds like a game show.
Childbirth.
Hurl, poop, or both.
Yeah.
It's a Japanese game show.
It probably is.
No whammies.
Yeah. Yeah. Stop.
So
nope, stop.
Well, those weren't plugs, but they were shameless.
That's right.
But I guess we should also talk about our Facebook page, facebook.com/RealSpoilers, where you can go there and join the League of Show Sharers. People who were kind enough to join the league this week: Tom Kaminsky, Lane Levanway, Aaron Marlowe. I'm going to have to learn Denmarkian.
Yeah.
Miraham Dornauer. I don't think they listened to last week's episode because they haven't. They said they haven't seen. I saw when shared the episode. They're like, I haven't seen this movie, so I can't watch. So they don't. I don't think they know that. I don't
you
know how to say their
the name.
Yeah. So I did apologize last time, but at some point I'm just going to have to start saying it incorrectly.
Incorrectly.
And just living with it.
Let them answer it.
Griffin Fox Smith, Jason Weese, Laura Connolly Quiddick, Chris James, Travis T. Witt, Tammy Sherman Powers, Julianne Jordan, Brent Smith, Chris Sanders, Dylan A. Lang, Chris Magic Man, Ron Johnson, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Timmy Tuzoons, Richard Lawson, and Ralph Tribble. So thank you very much for sharing the show. It helps us tremendously just remind people that we exist. So that's good.
We're around.
Yeah, we're around. So anyway, I guess that's it for all of that stuff. Let's turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready. Kevin?
I do, Tom, and this week over at the old box office, Glass, once again, making money. So, obviously, people, the word of mouth doing well, and they don't care what the critics think, because it made another $17.3 million, 57% drop, puts them up to $71.8 million domestic. That's on only a $20 million budget, so they're doing quite well in a couple weeks. But go over to foreign, it made over 54.
Oh,
so,
geez.
I mean, yeah, they're well over 100 on a 20 in 2 weeks.
Do you have anything you'd like to say, Kevin?
Not that I can think of.
You sure? Because I think there might be.
So I found out in my show prep between shows here that M. Night Shyamalan did self-finance all three of the last movies.
Well, you said that on the show.
Yeah, but Kevin said I was wrong.
I thought he had some help. He completely financed them.
He Mel Gibson'd it.
He did.
Yeah, because
nobody would give him a chance.
But you know, it's interesting. So I was talking to my friend Chris, who doesn't listen to the show, another Chris, and he was like, but you know, after those other movies that he's done, how studios would be a big risk to give him complete creative control.
Yeah.
But if the guy wants to make a movie that he wants to make,
right,
he's got to put the money up so they can't meddle with it. So I mean, it was a smart move.
When you say the last three, so The Visit was self-financed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, because he did The Visit first, which was a tiny little budget.
Sure.
But so he put that up, but that made so much money that then he could self-finance, I mean, $10 million for Split, no big deal there.
Yeah, because now he's playing with the house's money.
Yeah,
right.
He made a ton of money with that. But seriously, remember, I mentioned it last week, but Split, $10 million budget, $250 yeah. million
box
office.
That's a huge, huge number.
So if he put up all the $10 million, I mean, that means Blumhouse is just distributing and marketing, basically.
I'm sure they're getting a check.
They're getting a check, but it's like, geez, they're putting that name on there and showing the commercials and, you know, handling the PR.
I feel like Blumhouse can, like, shine the turd that was M. Night Shyamalan's name at that point. Because like,
right, when you put Blumhouse stamp on it, right, you're like, M. Night Shyamalan, Blumhouse, okay, they like even out.
Yeah,
right.
exactly. You can trust a Blumhouse movie.
Yeah,
and then but
and if he puts his name on it, you know that
you're just
that's
like, okay,
like,
well, yeah, they wouldn't. We say they wouldn't. They have Blumhouse has also put out some garbage movies.
Very small amount though.
But the budget's so low. Like we talked about that Olivia Wilde.
They just kind of come and go and
right,
people forget
like,
about
oh,
them.
Whatever.
Yeah. But, yeah. So when you're making a Waterworld, if they had made Waterworld for $10 million, it would have been a blip.
Right.
You know,
it wouldn't have, yeah.
When you don't, yeah, when you call it Fish Tar and there's a year of advertising. Like,
right.
So I guess I never watched Waterworld when I was a kid. So I mentioned a couple weeks back on the show, I had watched it for the first time, or at least the first time I can remember as an adult.
I've never seen it.
Yeah. I know that I've heard about the controversy, but I went deep dive in and researched it and figured out all the stuff, and man, what a mess. Like I watched some videos of people that did like, you know, those essays, video essays on it, and like it's crazy. Like Kevin Costner put a ton of his own money into it and he wanted all this creative control, and you know, and that's why him and Kevin Reynolds, they were button heads, and like they eventually got back together a little bit, but like that movie kind of separated that friendship where they had worked together on a lot of stuff, and you know, if you hear about Costner behind the scenes, it's like ooh. But yeah, that movie is out of control. But yeah, it's just what a crazy story to with how much money that movie cost.
It's interesting that so Shyamalan has self-financed these last three. It's interesting that somebody like Kevin Smith doesn't just finance his own stuff.
I don't think he makes enough money.
You don't think he could pull off a Jay and Silent Bob?
I don't know. I don't think.
Well, I went to Saban Films. Saban Films picked it up.
And what is that?
Power Rangers.
It is Power Rangers.
Oh, Saban, okay. Yeah.
So I'm wondering, like, if so, we talk about how Blumhouse has their niche in horror.
It's risk too. He doesn't want to put up his house against Jay and Silent
Bob. Totally. Yeah.
His house that Jay and Silent Bob built doesn't need to be the house that Jay and Silent Bob repossesses.
Yeah, right.
And those movies, I feel like they're inconsistent about making money. Some make a lot of money.
Some make no money.
They're very niche characterized.
Well, Zach and Miri wasn't really niche. Zach and Miri was.
But yeah, but that was like one of his first big ones in a while. Yeah. Like that.
It should have made money.
Yeah. It should have made money. That was a really funny movie.
It was a very good movie. But I wonder if Saban Films maybe doubles down on the nostalgia market. Like maybe they do Bill and Ted where Blumhouse is the horror guy. Maybe Saban is just like, we got the Power Rangers and we have Kevin Smith movies Bill and Ted or whatever. Yeah. 90s.
Yeah. I think that Super Troopers 2 did pretty good.
Did it?
I think
for what it was,
and for what they spent on it. And I think a lot of it was funded with a Kickstarter.
Well, that's the weird thing too. It was supposed to be a Kickstarter movie and then they took that money and they made it in this, like the studio system kind of a deal.
Oh, really?
So like it's just a very weird thing the way that went down. There's you have to go look into it sometime.
I feel like they did that. I think Rob Zombie did that with 31.
I think it did pretty well. I think it made
money.
I mean they couldn't have paid that much to make it. So I think and then you put it on home video and people, I'm sure it did fine.
So did anyone see Super Troopers 2?
No.
Yes.
Okay. Oh. And did you have an affinity for the first one?
I did not. I don't see the appeal of the first Super Troopers, to be perfectly frank. I mean, there were a couple funny scenes, and I kind of felt the same way about Super Troopers 2, but it was
always just as good, but that's not saying much for me.
I mean, I don't think the people that have love for the first one thought it was just as good, but
two has some good, or one had some good scenes.
Yeah. There was a lot of revisiting the same jokes. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, remember when we did this last time? Wasn't that funny?
So they do like a liter of cola thing and a meow thing.
They do a meow thing.
But they're in Canada, so it's not, it's metric, right? Yeah. Isn't that the deal?
Oh, they're in Canada?
Yeah.
Are they dealing with Mounties?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. It reminded me of like, so you used to see this in old movies, like before, old movies that predate home video.
Yeah.
Right. When they would make a sequel, they would recycle a lot of the jokes.
Oh, Airplane, right?
Yeah, Airplane 2 is like that. Like Airplane 2 is like, it's almost, it's so many of the jokes repeat.
Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2.
Yeah.
Because you just couldn't go see the first one. Yeah, but Evil Dead is because he didn't have the money to do what he wanted with the first one.
Right, so I'm just saying.
Evil Dead 2 is a remake for money, not for like you can't go see the first one, so they're like, don't see the first one, this is
right.
But like, even like if you go back to like Abbott and Costello movies,
sure,
like if you watch enough of them, you'll see they start to recycle the bits because people wanted to see them. On the one hand, you could look at that and say, well, that's lazy, and there's probably some truth to that.
Right.
But there was also, like, you wanted to see, if you see Abbott and Costello, if they were doing a live show, and they don't do Who's On First, right?
That, right.
That's like going to see Lynyrd Skynyrd and they don't play Freebird.
Sure.
Yeah, that Who's On Uno and Abbott and Costello Go to Spain was great. Love that number.
But so they would recycle his bits because people wanted to right. see him again.
And here's your wrestling corner. When they do house shows,
yeah,
and they're just like, hey, you're working with this guy on a loop. And they're just like, what match are we doing tonight? Just like the same one we did last night because house shows aren't on TV.
Right. Yeah.
So it's just like you're just playing to the live crowd.
Why rewrite it?
Rehearsal, basically. The live
yeah, they're seeing what works.
Try out,
yeah. See what works. But yeah, like it's the same deal where like if you see a show in Kansas City and then see them again in St. Louis, you're going to see the same match.
Right.
Like it's not going to change because they're just trying
it's
to
like
work
stand-up comedy.
Out.
That guy's not inventing new jokes every night.
No.
Don't know how to break it to you.
Testing stuff out.
Yeah.
Seeing what works.
Yeah. So... But anyway, I mean, like I said, I honestly, and I know that this is for the Broken Lizard people out there to show you where I'm at with Broken Lizard, because I'm at the exact opposite end.
You love Club Dread.
I liked Club Dread.
I don't like any of those
movies.
I like Super Troopers is fine, but
I like Club Dread way better than I like Super Troopers. And I know for the Broken Lizard fans,
that's blasphemy.
That's a giant turd.
Yeah, right.
And I enjoyed it. I thought it worked. I thought I liked the story. I liked the jokes better.
You like the girl better.
I don't even remember.
Brittany something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I don't remember anything about that other than they were trying to do a parody of those I Know What You Did Last Summer movies,
yeah.
Kind of. It was, like, in the height of all that.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's just in that vein where they're trying to do, like, a murder, someone's chasing them down, or there's a killer somewhere, or whatever. Yeah, it's...
Scary movie's like, we got this. Don't worry. Don't. Yeah. Just stay in your lane.
What? Isn't that crazy? The Scream was supposed to be called Scary Movie.
Yeah. That's why they called Scary Movie.
I mean, just because we live in this world, like in an alternate reality, like, you know, in an alternate timeline, those movies are called
Scary Movie
1, 2, 3, and 4. And then I guess Scream is the parody.
Yeah, I don't know.
But it's just so weird now that we know this. But I mean, that makes sense why Scary Movie took that title.
Yep.
But yeah.
It's like Family Guy's Blue Harvest.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, well, Glass doing very well for itself in the box office, despite anything the critics might tell you. And go listen to the episode from last week. We had a pretty long, I guess it was a super annual 100
yeah, it was
pager.
An extended edition.
Giant sized man thing.
Yeah, that's yeah. Right.
Exactly. So go listen to that because you know you want to. Number two, The Upside. Jeez, did STX get a bargain at
yes,
$4 million
they,
on
yes,
this movie?
They did.
Like again, I mean, this is based. The Upside's based on we talked about a couple weeks ago a French film called The Untouchables, and it is a very popular film, and they've remade it now for American audiences. It was produced by the Weinstein Company and was set for release like right after all that crap broke out, and so they shelved it. But, you know, they couldn't get a good deal on it or they couldn't sell it for what they wanted. So they ended up just, I guess the company kind of just split apart and was, you know, selling things off. And STX picked it up for $4 million. I mean, it made
a deal.
It made $11 million in week three.
Yeah. I think it's got great word of mouth. It's a feel-good movie.
Right.
And it's not the best movie ever. It's very cliche, but it's a very well-done cliche movie. And
sure.
I will also say you haven't seen a movie like this in a long time. And so I think it's great for Kevin Hart in that
he needs a little bit of a boost.
I mean, he's been doing, I know he took a hit with the
yeah.
Oscar stuff, but
shows that he can do serious work.
Yeah. And I think there's going to be, it's going to be very, it's a mainstreaming of Kevin Hart. I know this
Got
sounds
it.
Weird because he's in Jumanji, which is a very mainstream film, but I mean, this is going by mainstreaming. Let's say what I really mean. It's going to make old people less scared of him.
Yeah. That's
you
probably
know,
true.
Not that I don't know why you would be scared of Kevin Hart.
He's so small.
Yeah. Yeah. You never know where he's going
right,
to jump out at any moment. But I think it is like now old people are going to know who Kevin Hart
right,
is.
Right, right.
Like it takes him to a new level of fame, I think.
It's like, so I just saw, you know, we talked the Weinsteins, and so Netflix just released a doc about him and the accusations. You've got
oh,
the,
they did?
Yeah. It's on there.
Oh, okay. There's one that just played at Sundance, too.
That's the Michael Jackson one.
Oh, but they're... Oh, okay. I thought
so. There's the Harvey Weinstein one.
That Michael Jackson one is supposed to be brutal.
I heard people, if you're a fan of MJ.
And it's like 4 hours long.
I think that legacy might be in some R. Kelly trouble. If I mean, obviously R. Kelly's career is over.
Yeah.
Like that's, he's no longer
about 20 years.
Correct. 20 years too late. And like, so I'll give some artists credit. No, you know what? I won't. Where it's like, you knew what he was accused of.
I think what happens is, and it's the same thing that happens that happened with Cosby, is that these accusations come out and then seemingly nothing happens with them.
Yeah, that's true.
And then you just kind of look at it and go, well, then I guess maybe it wasn't true. Like
yeah.
nothing. Like, how is this guy still walking around?
Right.
And I mean, because the Cosby, those accusations were
forever.
Were like early
2000s. When the PP song.
Oh, were they really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Those took that long. I didn't
know. So what happened with Cosby is those accusations came out and they were starting to gain traction. And then his son, Enos.
Died.
He got like.
He was murdered.
He was murdered. Yeah. And like some guy.
It's like a roadside carjacking.
Like
something.
A car had a flat tire on the side of the road. And he pulled over to help. And it was like. It was a setup and they killed him.
Yeah.
And so. That happened, and I think the media backed off because they felt bad for the dude because his son died.
Right.
Especially when, you know, so much of his comedy is about his kids. And, I mean, his son getting killed. I mean, that's Theo Huxtable.
Right.
Yeah. That's basically. Yeah. And so I think the media took a pass, and they were just like, well.
And then he got that award. He got, like, the Kennedy Award.
Oh, the Kennedy Center Honor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it started to pick up.
He probably got a Mark Twain Award. I mean,
probably.
Yeah,
well, I remember
level.
Like the Kennedy thing was like on TV. Like,
right,
it was a ceremony.
So it's a Mark Twain. I think Kennedy Center Honors is it on CBS?
PBS.
I thought the Mark Twain was on PBS and Kennedy was. But
oh,
anyway.
Maybe. Either way.
They both. I know Mark Twain's on PBS.
Okay. So, yeah. And then they started to pick up steam again.
Right.
And it was over.
Yeah.
Quickly.
It's just crazy. All these people that, I mean, they build up their entire careers and generations grew up with them. And then, like, just like that, it should. I'm not saying that they shouldn't be, you know, but it's like, God, that legacy and all that they work for because they're idiots and do stuff they shouldn't be doing. And it's like, and now they will only be remembered as
that.
Yeah.
And I think MJ might be next.
Really? So I wonder, I wonder what took that so long. I guess they were holding on to
footage. No, like, there was stuff. I mean, I remember.
Well, I know there was stuff, but
was it right after Black and White? Was it right around that time?
Well, he was really good about, I mean, he had lots of money and teams of lawyers, and
right,
he'd go in and start cutting checks and making them sign NDAs.
I think it was Black or White, and then it started to pick up some steam, and then it went away.
Yeah. But that's the same thing. It's like with R. Kelly, you heard about him doing crazy stuff, and then it just kind of...
Well, there's the whole Aaliyah... like relationship.
Yeah.
It is just like so gross.
He knew she was 14.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, happened for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a sketch on the Chappelle Show.
That's right.
Piss.
And he, the PP tape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And R. Kelly was all bent out of shape, and David Chappelle's like, cool.
Yeah.
Come at me, bro.
Right.
Like, if you, like, that's what I, that's,
the quickest way to end this is to sue me for slander.
Do it.
And then we get to do a deposition.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's just like, I'm going to sue you. Okay.
Yeah.
What did I say that wasn't true?
Right.
Yeah. So it's crazy. But anyway, so the upside for the STX is they bought this movie for $4 million.
Is the money.
27% drop in week three. Again, $11 million in this third week, bringing the grand total domestically so far up to $61.9 million. And it's made four overseas, so probably not a huge release over there. But you know,
well, France doesn't need to go see it.
Well, that's true. Right. I've seen this before. and like on here, it says the production budget was $37.5 million for someone else besides
for not STX.
Yeah, exactly. So, geez, I mean, that company, it'll be interesting to see what they do with that money, you know, and what, because it's like that's a good chunk of change they're making. They can go make that other passion project.
They should cast him as Norman Osborn.
Who?
Kevin Hart?
No, Bryan Cranston.
Oh. I was like,
Kevin Hart.
That's an interesting take.
No, like, if we're not going to get him as Commissioner Gordon, like, that's J.K. Simmons at this point.
Oh.
Bryan Cranston.
In that universe.
Well, yeah, it's true. But Bryan Cranston could pull a Michael Keaton-style performance in...
Yeah, DC casting is like weather in St. Louis.
Right.
Just wait.
It'll change.
Yeah. Number three, The Kid Who Would Be King opened this week. Did you see
number three?
Tom?
The Kid Who Would Be Harry Potter?
That's basically what I've heard.
It's what it looks like.
Yeah. Have you seen it?
No.
Oh.
But the commercials, I was like, this looks like a Harry Potter knockoff.
Yeah, like a fun kid's
movie.
It's
the guy from Attack the Block.
Okay.
It's the same director as Attack the Block.
Yeah, I you know, it looked fun. I was thinking of taking Ryan to see it. We haven't been yet, but I mean, I've heard good things. I heard
number three though. That's pretty solid for a British movie.
But I mean, is it really a British movie?
I mean, the guy that did Attack the Block, it was an all British cast. It was done over there. I think this is similar.
Gotcha. Well,
I mean, using that logic, Harry Potter's a British movie.
That's true. the director Christopher Columbus wasn't British.
Okay.
Yeah.
He was from Spain.
Right. I was like, no. I see what we did there.
So anyway, this movie, I do not have a budget on it, and it's only made a couple million overseas. So it doesn't, you know, when I think of British movie, I'm like, oh, it was released over there first and they brought it over here, but it's going to make all their money over there. But it looks like this one is like American release first. And I don't know what the exact history of it is. But yeah, so we'll have to see what goes on with that one. You know, it looks like it has a little bit of a budget with it. So only making 6.8 million opening weekend.
Yeah. Not thinking that's what they were hoping.
Yeah, no. I mean, for a kids movie, and I guess because Spider-Man's still out stealing some of its money away. And the dog movie.
Did you see the poster for Shaun of the Dead in Spider-Verse?
What? No.
There's a poster for the From Dusk Till Shaun.
Oh, really?
Like, it was the Shaun of the Dead sequel.
Oh, nice.
And so, like, you just see it in the background. And I was like, oh, I want that so bad.
That's funny.
Like, give me that movie.
That would be a great title.
Yes.
Yeah, that's really good. But anyway, so coming in at number four, Aquaman with a 38% drop. We talk about it every week now, but 6.3 million in week seven, bringing it up to 315 million domestic. But it's way over a billion worldwide now. It's 766 plus, not including this weekend's estimates. So we're approaching $1.1 billion.
They just gave
worldwide.
Him a whole new creative team on his comic.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, see this movie?
They got Kelly.
You make this work.
Right. Well, it's definitely not. He doesn't look like
he's a dirty
Momoa.
Blonde now.
Well, he is. The hair has changed a little bit. No tattoos, but whatever. But it's Kelly Sue DeConnick and Robinson Rocha are on the book. And it's a whole new direction. It's a whole new story. Whole new creative team. An all-star creative team, honestly. Yeah. So it's like, oh, okay.
Oh, well, yeah.
Your movie made over $1 billion. We got to put some high quality.
Time to make this an A-list.
Yeah,
comic.
Right. And so, the first issue was good. Go pick it up.
There you go. But yeah, Aquaman, I mean, we've said it many times before. It deserves the money. It's making a lot of it.
Yeah, said it.
It deserves it.
I don't know that it deserves $1 billion.
What?
But it got it.
It deserves more than Batman v Superman. Yeah.
Well, I say
Justice
it deserves
League.
It.
I
Joe,
say it deserves it.
It deserves it. So two versus one.
I've been waiting for a long time for a good DC movie.
And you got a mediocre
and
one.
He's been waiting since 2013.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's been a long road to get there.
After that first episode, he's been waiting. Episode 2 through 400.
Yeah.
Oh, so.
You take that last fourth of that movie out and just change it a little bit. It's a good movie.
Coming in at number five, speaking of comic book movies, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse also sticking around with $6.2 million, 18% drop week seven.
Like, so good.
That movie's doing very well. I mean, numbers-wise, it isn't doing anywhere near what Aquaman did, but I mean, for what it is and what expectations were, I think, people are loving that movie. About $170 million domestic. This is that 50-50 split we talked about before, but around $170 overseas. So we're approaching $350 on a $90, and the sequel's in the works.
Sure it was in the works in week one.
Yeah, so I mean they're happy with it, and I'm
well,
excited.
It's not just a sequel at this point though. Like, I'm sure Miles is going to get another movie.
And they're going to spin off a lot of those other ones.
Oh, the girls. There's going to be like a Spider Women movie where it'll be Gwen and Jessica Drew and
that one's Spider Ham movie.
Yeah, no, you don't. You want like a 5-minute shorts?
Yeah, talked about this. Remember?
I don't think I could do a whole movie.
I think I could.
All right.
I like John Mulaney.
John Mulaney is. I think that
Weekend Update skit was pretty funny.
Oh, with him and
Pete Davidson
talking about the mule. Yeah.
I mean, John Mulaney is just hilarious.
He's so natural.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like he's not trying.
Right.
Like, that's just.
And he's a guy that doesn't have to curse to be funny.
No, he does, though.
I mean, he does here and there, but he's not a very foul-mouthed
comic. Yeah, I watched his Netflix
comic.
Special, and I was like, I'm pretty sure I can watch this with the kids.
Yeah, it's interesting because his delivery, the way he talks and carries himself and pokes fun at, you know, himself, and it's just, he is hilarious without having to curse every 2 seconds. I think that takes more skill. Like, you know,
Joe.
I don't.
I said one. I said yeah. one.
Yeah, but you haven't been funny.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's a story of my life.
Well, anyway, but yeah.
I agree. I think he is like a natural storyteller, yeah. a natural comedian. I mean, he cut his teeth on SNL back in the day, and I think he wrote for some... Did he write for Conan?
I don't know.
I think him and Conan were tight. I can't remember if he came up through there and... Well, he had that sitcom that was supposed to be the next Seinfeld and then tanked hard.
Oh, he really? Did?
Oh, you don't remember
starring
that?
No. Him or he wrote it.
Starring him.
Really?
No, oh, it was on NBC. Oh, really?
Yeah, it was supposed to be like the next... I mean, they were like, this is going to be the next big thing.
What was he coming off of? Was he just coming out of the gate?
It was just like his stand-up had so much heat and they gave him development
How long
deal.
Ago was this?
5 or 6 years.
Oh, okay. So his first stand-up.
Yeah, I don't remember that one at all, but okay. I'm a big fan, though, and
I think he's very funny.
It's just, yeah, anytime he shows up on something like that, yeah. and that spider.
Yeah, it was just called Mulaney.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I do not remember that.
From 2014, it aired from October 5th through February of 15.
Well, I would like to watch that and see how it was.
It was not very good.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I watched it.
Oh.
And I was just like, this is the guy everybody's going on and on about.
I was
going
to give it some credit because, yeah, I mean, I don't think I knew John Mulaney in 2014. So
no, yeah.
People, you know, I don't, you'd think you'd remember the next big thing called Mulaney knowing John Mulaney now, but back right. then it would just came and went.
Yeah, that's interesting. Give that a look.
Anyway, but yeah, Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse doing well, continuing to do well, and getting those nominations. So we'll see come Oscar time what it ends up getting. Number six, Green Book, another one getting that nomination for Best Picture. $5.6 million in week 11. So, you know, that opened up as a limited release. And now with all the buzz around it, I mean, it's doing its job with the marketing and people still going out to see it. 159% increase this weekend after those Oscar nominations.
Are you watching True Detective?
I'm almost done with episode two. I'm behind. So.
Okay. I like him on that, too. Yeah. Like, he's playing himself in three different... Like an old man with Alzheimer's, he's playing himself as a very young detective, and then like ten years later, after this case that he's worked, yeah. So he's playing three different versions.
He's
of himself.
Good. I, you know, the thing is though, that True Detective one, and I know I was late to the game, but like you guys told me, you got to watch
so
it.
Good. Oh yeah,
that first one.
Yeah. And don't watch two. You know, you guys always told me. So I went back and watched one, and I like binged it in a day. Was hooked to it.
It's great.
The Rust character. And Woody Harrelson, they grab you. They just like, you were just like, this guy's crazy. This performance is amazing. What's up with these dudes? What's going on?
Yeah.
And like, I'm now again on the second episode of this True Detective. And while again, you know, Ali is good and it's fine, but like nothing is grabbing me like that first season.
I am way into his partnership with Stephen Dorff.
Yeah.
Like
they're good.
I'm not watching.
Yeah, so I got to tell you, I didn't realize it was Stephen Dorff. And I was like, man, it's so weird. This guy kind of looks like because you only when you first see him for the first time it's in like the 80s.
He looks like Dennis Quaid
kind of, yeah, but like
he really does.
I was just like, man, he sounds like Stephen Dorff.
I tweeted a side by side of him and Dennis Quaid. I'm like when did Stephen Dorff turn into Dennis Quaid? He looks just like him.
And then show. And then they show the cast and I was like, oh, it was Stephen Dorff. Yeah. Oh, all right,
yeah. Like season two was so bad that it made me rethink season one.
Oh, really?
I was like, maybe this wasn't as smart and profound as I thought.
Right.
Oh, it was. That's season
one. No, season one is next level TV.
It is.
Yeah, but after season two I was like, well, maybe that was me like adding stuff to it that wasn't really there.
I don't know what happened there.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to give this. So now I guess episode four will be on today tonight. As we're recording this. So I've got to finish two. So I'll try to get through it. I mean, again, I'm going to give it a chance. It's not bad or anything, but nothing's grabbed me like that first season where I was just like, this is bananas.
Yeah.
You know, and I think McConaughey is responsible for a lot of that where you're just like, what is going on?
It
with
is
this
interesting
guy?
That they are both executive producers on this season.
Were they on last?
I don't remember. You think I sat through those credits last
but
season?
I didn't know if it was just something
they may
like
have been.
To get them on board. Because those were two big names.
Yeah. Huge
and
names.
And that first season, to get them on board, they might just kind of have credits now.
Right, that's
and they
possible.
And they get a piece.
A little piece of the pie.
You know that they were supposed to play the other characters, right?
I did, yeah.
And they did a flip-flop on this one?
On the first season, they were supposed to be playing the other. They were each supposed to play the other part.
Right.
And then when they were just like,
can we try it the other way?
I want to do yours. And then right back at you. And then swoop.
And then you got magic.
Oh, that's so much better because crazy Woody Harrelson always being crazy like Woody Harrelson is, like, just wouldn't be as good as McConaughey.
No, yeah. McConaughey, I mean, when he shows...
Yeah, you're like, oh, Woody Harrelson's a little weird and quirky in this, you know. Yeah. Like, it would just be like, okay, but McConaughey doing that?
I think they made him drop a bunch of weight
No, he had dropped all. He was.
Oh, he was coming off of Dallas Buyers Club.
Right.
And they thought they were going to get. How was a guy in 10 days, Matthew McConaughey.
Right.
And they get Dallas Buyers. And they're like, what the Jesus.
Yeah.
But it is great.
You know, another movie that was like that where the actors like decided to swap intended roles was
Superman.
That Steve Carell movie where.
Oh, the way back.
Yeah. Sam Rockwell and Steve Carell.
Yeah.
And that. Oh, how that perfect was that cat? Like,
so yeah. Good.
Just the flip. I think it would have been fine. The other way,
yeah.
But the
I think it would have been, yeah.
Was
I think True Detective would have been fine the other way, but I think that took it from good to great.
Yes, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that's cool when they do that.
And I miss good guy Sam Rockwell, like he plays such a good guy.
Yeah,
you know that I'm just like, yeah.
What is that with Sam Rockwell being the racist guy in the movies now? Like, I really hope he doesn't get pigeonholed because okay, I love Sam Rockwell. I've followed him for a long time, and it's like he's such a great actor. But I mean, last year he just did 3 billboards playing the racist cop, and now he's the head of the Klan in this new movie. I'm
what new movie?
Yeah,
it's this new.
It's like a buddy movie between the Klan and a civil rights activist.
Yeah.
Is this a true story or?
I only saw the trailer before a movie. Like, I didn't look anything into about it. You know, I haven't heard anything, but I'm just like, oh, I like Sam Rockwell, but can we get him out of this? Like, I want to be able to be like, yeah, I really like that Sam Rockwell movie and he's really good. But when he's,
you're constantly talking about Moon.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, no, just go watch Kevin. You've been talking about that for 10 years. Yeah, I know.
And I still will to this day.
It's still good.
It is excellent.
It is a good movie.
Excellent movie.
I think I prefer Confessions of a Dangerous Mind.
Except it's also a Kevin Spacey movie.
That's true.
Because he plays, does he play the role?
He's the voice of the computer.
I haven't gone back and watched
Confessions
it
of a Dangerous Mind. Go just recommend that. That's much better.
Very, very.
And you get a young Michael Cera.
Yes, you do. Very young Michael Cera.
But do you remember one of the first movies that Sam Rockwell shows up in? What's your first recollection of Sam Rockwell?
Oh, man.
If you don't get this, you're going to kick yourself.
I know.
It's very relevant.
To what?
To us. Just to our discussions lately, recently.
No, I don't.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
What is he in?
He's one of the punk foot kids.
Is he really? In the first one?
Like smoking cigarettes in the first one.
That's hilarious.
I mean, he's a kid.
That's very funny.
It's Sam Rockwell.
That's good stuff.
He's almost your Iron Man.
Yeah, it's almost.
There you go.
God, that would have been great too.
It's like he pulled
it would have been.
Yeah.
I think if he'd have been Iron Man, I think we'd still be happy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He'd have been so good.
Even though I love Robert Downey Jr.
Sure.
And I think.
Would have changed his complete trajectory.
I think Robert Downey Jr.'s version is better, but I think Sam Rockwell's would have been almost as good. And if we hadn't seen Robert Downey Jr.'s, we wouldn't have been able to imagine somebody else in the role.
It's funny looking at the people who could have been. You know,
he's like, a Wolverine, the Wolverine guy. I mean,
who?
Except for Sam Rockwell is really good and he kept going. He's Scott.
Right. But I mean, like, could you imagine the alternate universe where it's Sam Rockwell as Iron Man, John Krasinski as Captain America, Joaquin Phoenix as Bruce Banner, Emily Blunt as Black Widow? Like, it's just like they were right there. Like, all of them were right there. You ready to take the role, and then we get, you know, Chris Evans walks in and Krasinski's like, well, all right.
Interesting. It's very interesting.
I'm going to go back to the office.
What could have been, but it's worked out pretty well for Marvel so far.
They're doing okay.
Number 7, A Dog's Way Home. Another $5 million on that one. 30% drop from last week. So pulling in a little bit of money. It wasn't doing too great compared to its budget last week, but it's now up over $30 million on its 18 and 5 overseas. So. Yeah, they're about $35 million on an 18, so starting to make its money back. Number 8, Serenity. That's the movie of the week, if you forgot.
Can we agree that the McConaissance is over?
I think we agreed on that about 2 McConaughey movies ago.
Did we?
Gold.
I liked Gold.
It was okay.
He was good.
I didn't hate it.
Yeah,
but
I thought he was really good.
You know what, though? I don't ever think that he's bad. He's been in some stinker movies, but I'm thinking about Gold. I'm thinking about this one. I mean, I could be wrong, but I'm just thinking, I don't ever think, I'm like, man, McConaughey is trash. Like, he's a great actor. I think he really, with the right roles.
He's made some bad choices.
Yeah.
With the right roles, though, I mean, he can.
And he's not taking it for the money. Like, I cannot believe that
he has to just be doing what he wants to do.
Yeah, I cannot think.
He took this one for the trip.
I think you're right.
He's I want to go to Plymouth Island.
But it's like, seriously, at this point, I mean, the guy's got to have plenty of money, and I really think he's doing the Keanu thing where he's like, this sounds interesting.
He's got the Oscar already.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like some actors are like, no, I want that every time. Yeah. But then there are some actors who's like, I got one.
Yeah.
Cool.
You know, I mean, so I don't know. We'll get into this one.
I think with Serenity, I think
you thought it was getting something else.
They thought they were making a really good movie.
So it's the same guy that
I
did
think
Locke.
They thought they were making an art like an Oscar.
I do
blow because, your mind
because yeah. I don't think they would have gotten
Anne Hathaway
two
that's
Oscar
true.
Winners
the fact three that, didn't had, Diane Lane has one doesn't she
no she was nominated for oh, Unfaithful okay.
but no
she
the
did
cast
not
in this movie is bonkers when you see it and you're like they read the script and thought they were going
it
next
blew
level
their mind mm-hmm. and they thought yeah I
and they didn't get someone that knows how to make that movie right?
but he, no but he wrote it
that's well that,
it's written and directed by the same guy
I know but that's not always the best thing that's is what
but
I'm
he,
saying
this
like,
is the same guy that did
Locke. Of course, that's a lot easier movie to make because he's just in a
it's
car.
In a car.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you have to make that interesting for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Two
yeah,
hours.
But yeah, that doesn't, for to me, that doesn't say anything. I mean, that's the thing. If you put this in the hand of a competent director, if you put this in the hands of the Ex Machina guy, maybe, like for example, think about how big that movie has taken place on that crazy compound. And I'm just trying to relate, like, not in a car, but, like, you know, he knows how to do really cool shots and the lighting and this, sure. You know, like, make that thriller, but with the sci-fi whatever twist.
Steven Knight? Is that this guy's name?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think maybe in the hands of a more competent director and you know, work on the script a little bit, but this movie was bonkers. And we'll get into it next episode. And this is also not the Firefly movie. So I got a lot of confusion online.
I know. And
how?
It also makes it very hard to Google.
That how is, what? I mean, it's called Serenity. Oh, how to get the name?
No, but I mean, like,
they should have picked a different name.
Okay. That's fair.
I mean, everyone knows Serenity is the Firefly movie. Right. Nerds that watch Firefly know. So people online, like, someone online is like, I think that was involved in the movie, is like, stop yelling at me about Firefly. Or something. You know, like, it's like people keep getting it confused because, first of all, no one knows this is happening
right
in January. This guy, I have never seen one trailer for this.
Same here.
Nope. I heard online
they
that
didn't
it was,
screen it.
Yeah, I heard online it was
just always a bad sign.
And Tom is like, well, you know, maybe we should do that crazy McConaughey movie. It sounds like it's gonna be crazy in the best ways. And I'm like, okay, but knew nothing about it. Never saw a trailer. So when this movie starts, I'm just like, I didn't know.
I was trying because I normally see a movie Thursday night to talk about on the radio.
Sure.
And there was nothing that really. I didn't make it to Stan and Ollie, which is what opened locally.
Right.
And it wasn't showing Thursday night.
That would have been right up your alley, too.
Yeah.
That's the movie.
I know. And it wasn't showing Thursday night because it's art house. And
everyone's asleep by then.
Sure. Yeah. And so I was like, oh, what? And I was on my little AMC app and I was like, Serenity? What the hell's that? And I was like, Matthew McConaughey and Anne Hathaway. And then I did some research and I was like, oh, this needs
game
to be
on.
This needs to be seen.
Yeah, it was a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, we'll definitely get into that next time. But $5 million opening at number 8.
Boo.
So it may have made more than the Firefly movie, though, still at that rate, which is unfortunate.
Take that, nerds. Yeah,
which is unfortunate, because that series was great, and I enjoy that movie. But anyway, coming in at number 9, that Dragon Ball Z movie
really
went wide release. Holy crap, man. I mean, just for what it is, and again, it's just a straight-to-Blu-ray Dragon Ball Z movie.
Right.
That's not a bad thing. I'm not knocking it, but it's like they come out with these movies all the time. And
you wouldn't think.
They put this thing in the theater. 4.2 million is a 57% drop from its limited release run. So now it is at almost 30 million domestic.
That's crazy.
Movie that otherwise would have been straight to $19.99 on Blu-ray,
right.
Shipped to your doorstep, and it's like, geez, which is really cool. I mean, good for them, and that's great that fandom is able to see the movies that they love on the big screen, and they're gonna buy it. So congratulations, Funimation! Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're gonna buy it when it comes out too, no doubt. So what a great way to pocket 30 million and make the money on the home release. So yeah, that I was blown away by that because I'm thinking, oh, it's those one and two night only type things. Okay, it made a lot for those days and then it's out next week or whatever, but to see it go up to the wide release, it's impressive.
So when I worked in the comic shop, I remember there were Yu-Gi-Oh, that was a thing, right?
Oh yeah, sure. Yu-Gi-Oh was huge,
and Pokemon, and I feel like I could have sworn there was a Dragon Ball thing too, but man, those kids would come in there and just drop money.
Yeah,
I'm like, where are you getting this money from?
From their parents?
And it's like the guy that Mark, who unfortunately passed away a couple years ago, he's like, I paid off my house in Yu-Gi-Oh money.
Yeah.
Because those kids, like, he'd have like like card boxes mm-hmm. of just single, you know, like rows of cards of just single cards.
Commons.
Yes, exactly.
That's what you call them in
yes,
baseball
thank
cards.
You. Commons. Yeah. And kids would just come in and be like, he'd sell them in packs, be like 25 for 10 or whatever. And kids would just come in and just drop money on. And then he had sodas and stuff there too. I was like, that's how you're like a drug dealer. Just keep them up, keep them going. Just keep them up. But yeah, like they would just come in and just start dropping money. And I guess they were like, you know, expensive cards. Oh,
yeah.
Like rare cards or something.
Absolutely. Anything with those Pokemon cards. I mean, you know, that's like, you see those articles. It's like, do you still have your old Pokemon cards? This Charmander's worth $5,000. And you're like, and you go to your book and you're like, yeah, I don't have that
what,
one.
What was the,
no
di-
one
what
has
was
that
the clamshell thing?
Clamshell thing.
Remember like the Disney movies were like,
oh,
yeah. Some of them were selling for like $3,000.
Yeah, that's BS because they're so rare. Those ones.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, it's, okay. It's that those BuzzFeed articles where they say you could be rich if you have your Disney VHS.
Right.
It's like, no, like there's like so. Okay, The Little Mermaid.
Right.
Before it got recalled, had a
okay.
penis on the
that's
cover.
That's fair. Okay, right? I get that one.
Those go for like $10 or $15, which you know.
Wait, the pre-recall?
Yeah.
Or the recalled ones?
The one with the penis.
They go ones. For $15.
Yeah.
Oh. I figured you'd think a penis on a Disney movie would go for more than that.
Well, but I mean, it's hidden in a castle and sure. there's a ton of yeah. them out there. But I mean, you can make a good quick $15 or whatever right. if you find one. And I mean, I have like 10 of them I'm sitting on. I mean, if I see one, I just buy it because, I mean,
right.
make $10-$15 easy. But, you know, and then there's like the certain Beauty and the Beast ones or the older ones. But like, no one has those ones that
we were. I was at an
yeah,
estate.
Right now you can get it on eBay for like $9.
Yeah,
that's funny. I was at an estate sale in the neighborhood and they had like stacks of Disney clamshells. And I was just like, you know, I feel like I should just look it up and see what it sells for on eBay.
Yeah.
And it was just so random. Like one of them did. Like there were, you could go to the sold thing. Some of them did sell for $3,000, $1,500. And there's one that sells for $6.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I don't know.
There's just
I
weird.
Have no idea.
There's just weird versions. I mean, to have those ones that right. are rare, they cost that much for a reason. Anytime that something costs that much, it's because not everyone just has it in their basement.
Sure,
like
right.
you don't. Like it's so rare. But yeah, you it's a diamond in the rough.
Right.
Put
oh, I
way.
See what you did there.
So,
yeah.
But anyway, Dragon Ball Z making money, so good for them. And rounding out the top 10, it's our friend from several weeks ago, Escape Room. Still making money. That's impressive. $3.7 million, a 34% drop. $47 million domestic on that little horror movie.
Pretty good.
Yeah, PG-13 horror movie, yep. $9 million budget. So they did the Blumhouse formula over at Sony. They're starting to figure it out. And
Blumhouse is like, son of a...
Overseas, they've got about 13 million plus on there. So, yeah, we're looking at over 60 on a 9.
It's interesting that that's going to drop out of the top 10.
Just in time for Happy Death Day 2.
Exactly.
Or there's Happy Death Day to you.
To yeah. you.
There's which Blumhouse.
Oh.
We got to be doing that one, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
The first, I think it's the first movie in film history where the extras got a 3-picture deal.
But there's
yeah,
that
it's
one.
Like it's like you got to get that Asian roommate and the
oh not just the, I mean the, he actually had lines. I'm talking about like
oh,
when she
true.
Leaves the and like there's
they had
the
to bring the,
there's
oh,
the girl like
and,
sign up for Greenpeace
right.
and then the fraternity
the
people
guys,
and the people
and the
that get hit
lawn.
By the sprinkler and
saying.
Yeah like they got to get all those people back.
Yeah.
But there's that,
I mean I guess if they didn't would you really be like that's not the fraternity
I gotta tell you
I don't know that movie kind of hinges on you paying attention to those sorts of details.
Yes, yeah. that's the thing. It's like Happy, okay. not Happy Gilmore, but
it's just like Happy Gilmore,
Groundhog Day.
Yeah,
where
yeah.
it's just like you, you know, the what's the
Ned Ryerson, Steven Tobolowsky.
Oh wow, well done.
He has a podcast that's amazing.
Does he really?
Yeah,
he's one of those bit dudes.
He's been in so many good movies,
right?
And he's also been in so many bad movies,
sure.
And both have elicited great stories.
That's awesome.
And he's a great storyteller and a great writer.
What's the name of it?
It's called The Tobolowsky Files.
Okay.
And they're very writerly. Like he has to write them. It's not just him sitting down riffing. And so there's only like 72 of them. And every once in a while he'll come back and
72
and do like you know okay here's 8 more.
Oh okay.
And, but
okay.
God,
cool.
They are
I'll check
so
that out.
Good.
Yeah, I'll
it's like,
so
it's like
good.
I don't need any more podcasts to listen to, but
yeah,
but I'm also
always
though,
it's, it's finite. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like it's you know sometimes it's intimidating because you're like this is going to go on forever. And while we're plugging another podcast, Decoder Ring is amazing.
What is that?
Really?
It's from Slate, and they basically talk about like kind of weird and forgotten pop culture little tributaries.
Okay,
and and they've done some really, really cool episodes.
I'll give that a listen.
All right, yeah.
But Prodigy's another one. There's another horror flick called Prodigy that's coming out in like the next month.
Okay,
so it's just like, let's just wait until all of the horror movies are out of the top 10.
When does John Wick 3 come out?
This like early spring? Okay. I think pretty soon here, yeah. I think so.
Because I thought, weren't those Valentine's movies at first?
Yeah, they were.
They were.
So I don't know.
That was the alternate programming.
Yeah, so yeah. I mean, so Happy Death Day 2 or whatever to you is Valentine's Day. So I don't know if that one is going head-to-head or if they moved John Wick out.
May 17th.
Okay, so they moved it a little bit. All right, cool. So we don't have to worry about that for a little bit.
Also, Jason Mantzoukas is in that movie.
TikTok Man. Yes, I know.
Oh, that's right. Okay,
he's playing TikTok Man.
Yes.
I'm like, okay, did you watch the trailer for John Wick 3?
No.
I haven't either, and it's like, I'm like, did they show TikTok Man? I need to know, like, what...
I watched the trailer for that Mads Mikkelsen one.
Oh, yeah. I really want to see it.
I'm going
to
see it.
I'll watch it, too. I really want to see it, but then a couple of the listeners were like, yeah.
It's a John Wick ripoff.
Yeah.
So if I go in, it's like, okay, it's a John Wick ripoff. I'm fine.
It's Netflix. It's easily yeah. accessible. So, yeah, I'm not going to run to the theater.
Because tonight's the Royal Rumble.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Wow. Okie dokie. So you have that to look forward to.
I do.
No, I'm sorry, listeners. Oh. I'm talking to Joe. You have that to look forward
right.
to. But anyway, yeah. So, yeah, the others, Mary Poppins dropping off and Bumblebee dropping off, but still making money. So that's the box office.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
So I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can follow the show online at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers or on Twitter at Real Spoilers. Also, don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your stuff. We are there to torment you. So come and be tormented.
To torment you.
So that's it for this one. Coming up, but next time we will tackle Serenity, not for nerds, but for regular people.
Oh, they think it is
that like grown-up, sexy time thrillers.
Yeah.
That are Looney Tunes.
In January.
Also Looney Tunes.
That are also Looney Tunes. Then you're in for a treat. So until then, you've been warned.
Good to see you, John. It took so long to find you. My husband, you were right about him. I want you to take him out on your boat and drop him in the ocean for the sharks.
This is about temptation. This right and wrong.
Serenidade nos cinemas.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.